Not yet. Okay, so it is recording. So we'll leave it right here. Sure, good to see everyone here this evening. Want to welcome our visitors and thank you for being here. I don't have a ton of updates, but I don't want to stay in the doghouse, so I'm going to mention Sue Pratt still is feeling well. We hope that she's turning the corner, it sounds like, and so hopefully Wednesday later this week, she would not want that. Diana is still not with us, let's pray that insurance gets figured out and they can get her the medication that's needed. It was so good to see Joey this morning after not seeing him last week very much, but he's not well, and he even said today that he's still struggling. So please remember him in your prayers. Mike, I guess you've been around Alan. I mean, they're right there beside each other, but he wasn't feeling well. And so he is at home sick and is going to have to miss. And then Chris and Janie went out of town. So let's remember them on their travels, that they have safe journey to and fro where they are. I think that catches us up. Is there anybody else we need to be remembering? Or any other updates? Okay. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 will be the scripture reading. We have Todd will be doing the reading. Mark has our singing. Gordon will do our opening prayer. Steve will bring us the lesson. Really looking forward to the fourth part of this series that we have. I think that's going to be a great addition to have on our website. I've already been talking about Joe on when we have topic all series that we can actually get a tag that makes it easier for people to go back and find that. So we're working on something to help us with that. We're also going to get the PowerPoints this week uploaded so that as you're listening or if you want to go back and review something, you'll be able to look at that and have a lesson. And then Alan will have our closing prayer. Let's clear our minds as we prepare to enter this service.
Reading this evening will be from Acts, first chapter, the first 8 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave his command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Number 452. 452. After this song, we'll be led in prayer.
It's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Almighty God, we come before You this evening, Father, thanking You for this beautiful day, thanking You for the opportunity to be together this evening with those of like faith to study another portion of Your Word and learning more about You and the ways that we can please You more and spread the borders of Thy kingdom. Thankful, Father, that You blessed us in many ways, physically and spiritually. Thankful for Your Son, who was willing to come from heaven to this earth and to live as a man and to live without sin for our example. That we too can have a home in heaven if we're found faithful at the end of life's way. Thankful, Father, for You being with the church here. Pray, Father, that we'll grow and be a shining light throughout the community. We pray, Father, for success of our website, and that others may find us easily and be able to come and worship with us. At this time, Father, we're mindful of those many that are on our prayer list or sick list, that You'll be with them, that You'll restore them back to their health, if it be Your will. Ask, Father, that You'll be with Steve this evening as he brings the lesson this evening. Understanding, Father, that if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know how to conduct ourselves. We wouldn't know how to please You. And we're so thankful for His work, thankful for Your love towards, for Your Son that, again, had died for us. Ask that You be with us, that You'll watch over us and forgive us our sins, and You'll bless us all this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Number 241. J. 2, 4, 1. Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and my Savior calls, I shall go to Him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a shining crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus live forever. Just a few more years with their toil and tears, and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with Him where the tide of time with eternity is blended. I'll exchange my cross for a shining crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus live forever. What a joy 'twill be when I wake to see Him for whom my heart is burning. Never more to sigh, never more to die, for that day my heart is yearning. I'll exchange my cross for a shining crown, where the gates swing outward never. At His feet I'll lay every burden down, and with Jesus live forever. You can mark your books on 263. Be the song after the lesson. 263. Before the lesson, let's sing 396. 396.
O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes, and will be gathered home. No tranquil joys on earth I know, no peaceful sheltering dome. This world's a wilderness of woe, this world is not my home. Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes, and will be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for aid, take me cease to roam, and lean for succor on His breast till He conduct me home. Will work till
Thankful that you can be here this evening. Let's remember those that were mentioned that we need to be praying for and do that. As we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, this is the fourth lesson. I want to reiterate this logical flow that we see in Scripture, that Jesus promised his apostles in John 16 and verse 13 that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 that the apostles received and spoke the very words of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Paul wrote Ephesians 3, verses 3-5, we can understand what the will of God is. The mystery of Christ will be made known. And in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Paul wrote to Timothy, saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The lesson this evening, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to take you way back in Scripture to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, God has told Abraham to leave his homeland and go to a land that he does not know. And he makes some promises to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, he says to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. Now I want to fast forward to Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. John the Baptist is teaching. He's baptizing. And this is what he says. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, when we look back at these passages in Isaiah and Joel, in Isaiah 32, verse 15, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, it talks about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And here in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, the first reference to baptism of the Holy Spirit, John uses baptize instead of pouring out, I believe, because he's comparing the pouring out of the Spirit to baptism in his baptism in water. His baptism in water was an event that was preparing the Jews for Christ unto repentance. The baptism of the Spirit, only administered by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was greater because of the one who gave it. Now, when you go back and look in Isaiah 32 and verse 15, very similar language except for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, it says, then the wilderness will be a fruitful land. Justice will dwell in the wilderness. Righteousness, peace, quietness. Talking about when the kingdom, I believe, comes. And in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, talking about the pouring out of the Spirit, we'll see that's exactly what was quoted as Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. But John spoke of Jesus either baptizing with the Holy Spirit or with fire. And it's important that we look at verse 12 to understand and be sure we understand what he's talking about at baptism of fire. The baptism of the Spirit would gather the wheat into the barn. The wheat, what is beneficial, what is useful. And the baptism of fire would burn up the chaff. Speaking of judgment, that is worthless would be burnt up. So the crowds listening to John as he teaches this should understand that Jesus would baptize in one or the other. And the promise would alert the audience to the fulfillment of the prophecies of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 32 and in Joel chapter 2. The bringing in of the kingdom, cleansing, renewal of God's covenant relationship with his people. Now I take you to what Todd read earlier in Acts chapter 1. If you look there in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus specifically references John's words from Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And he's there together with his apostles. And he says, it says here, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he talks about the promise of the Father would come in a few days. The establishment of his kingdom would begin, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we see as the Jews were gathered from all over the world in Jerusalem, devout Jews gathered there, huge crowd of Jews there on Pentecost. And once the Spirit was poured out, or they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues. And Peter explained that this miracle, in quoting Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, is what was happening right then at that time. Peter's explanation was there in Acts chapter 2 was, in quoting Joel chapter 2, I will pour out all flesh, not just the Jews, but all flesh. And in verse 33, Peter explains that Jesus had now received from the Father the promise of the Spirit and was pouring out what they were seeing and hearing. Back when John said in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, that is exactly what they are seeing and hearing at this time. They are seeing and hearing in their own language, whatever part of the world they were from. And then in verses 38 and 39, they were told to repent and to be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, to get to the Holy Spirit, which Peter identifies as the promise of the Holy Spirit. But notice that that promise was not just made to the Jews. All those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this leads us really to Acts chapter 10, when we see a second baptism of the Holy Spirit administered by God to the Gentiles in Caesarea. So turn to Acts chapter 10. In the first two verses, just summarizing, scanning through this chapter, for the first time, someone other than a Jew is introduced into Luke's account to Theophilus. Cornelius is a God-fearing Gentile, of which we will see other references in Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 15. But here in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is a good man, but he needs to be saved. And he's told in a vision to send for Peter, which he immediately does. And in verses 9 through 16, Peter has a vision. And he learns that what God has made clean, do not call common. And in verses 17 through 22, Peter told that he would arise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.
he explains why he, a Jew, we see as he goes on, would go to Caesarea to talk to these Gentiles in verses 23 through 29, that God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Many had come together, and this is what Peter is saying. And then in verses 34 and 35 of Acts chapter 10, notice it says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So Peter, again, explaining what he was shown and what it meant, his vision, and what God's position is. In verses 36 through 43, Peter begins to speak a similar sermon as he did as recorded in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, but it seems like he's only getting started. It says, if you look later in chapter 11 of Acts in verse 15, that as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it did upon us before. In verses 44 through 46 of Acts chapter 10, the believers conclude that the Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles because they are speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Same thing you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. So in verses 47 and 48, Peter's response, can anyone forbid or withhold water baptism from this people since they have received the Holy Spirit as we have? So what is the purpose of this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is showing that God's approval, he is bringing salvation to the Gentile people. It was never intended to be just for the Jewish race. It would be at first in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 10, it shows it for the whole world. These two occasions, Acts 10, we see the Holy Spirit poured out. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, showing God's approval of this. They still needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, to have their sins washed away. So when we get into Acts 11 and Acts 15, we see Peter is confirming what has happened is from God. It's God's will. And it's so the Jews will understand and accept these Gentiles as children of God if they've been baptized into Jesus. So in Acts chapter 15, I'm sorry, Acts 11 first, Peter is explaining. He's in Jerusalem now. He's left Caesarea in Acts 10 and he goes to Jerusalem. And there's some confusion about, we hear that Gentiles have been baptized. And they want to know about that. So Cornelius, Peter speaks of him and how that came to be, that he delivered a message so that Cornelius and his house would be saved. And he talks about the Holy Spirit falling upon the Gentiles, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Peter remembered the same incident happening to them, the Jews, at the beginning, as recorded back in Acts chapter 2. So he is showing them that this is from God. This is from God. And Peter emphasizes that the Gentiles received the same gift as they did. So we need to accept that. They concluded as a group there in Jerusalem that the Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles, and that meant that God had granted them repentance to life. Look at Acts 11 and verse 17. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And look at verse 18 as well. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance and delight. repentance unto life. So God showing His approval and they being baptized in the Spirit. When you get to Acts chapter 15, back in Jerusalem again, there's a conference over circumcision, whether or not the Gentile Christians should be made to be circumcised in order to be acceptable to God. So there's a conference on that. And in Acts chapter 15, verses 6 through 11, Peter confirms the conclusion of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and God's intentions to show that the Gentiles were to be accepted in Christ. Look at Acts 15, verse 7. We again are seeing the fact that hearing the gospel and believing means that the Gentiles are saved, not just the... I'll turn there. I thought I'd written that down. Acts chapter 15. In verse 7. And when they have been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." It's interesting here. He knew, he saw firsthand that this was God's will, and it was undeniable. Back in Acts chapter 10, when he preached to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and he knew this by the fact that they were speaking in tongues. And look at verse 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did us. So the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, as it's worded in Isaiah 32 and Joel chapter 2, was to bear witness of the equality of the Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom of God. It's not for any one race. It's not for any one type of people. It is for all. The gospel is for whosoever will. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In Acts chapter 2, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Jews heard the word of God preached, salvation was offered to them. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Salvation was offered to the Gentiles. So what we see, the purpose for and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it occurred only twice in the Bible, Acts 2 and Acts 10. It was always administered by God, by Jesus. This is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham. The gospel is for all, both Jews and Gentiles. If we look back to the verse we started out with, Genesis 12 and verse 3, the promise God made to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." When Paul wrote Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, he penned these words, "that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." God's promise that he made to Abraham, that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, came to fruition. When we offer baptism, every time we extend the Lord's invitation here, we're not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about baptism, immersion in water for the remission of your sins. That's all that we can administer. God administered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have no control over that. That was God's plan. That was God's wisdom. And from what I can see, that is the way that it occurred. And I want you to put a little nuance in this plan of salvation that I think goes along with the lesson this evening. But first of all, here, the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus taught that we must believe on Jesus. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 is what Paul taught the Philippian jailer in his household. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, repent or you'll likewise perish. We must confess with our mouth that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. But look at this baptism, the subject that we've been talking about this evening, baptism. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism now saves us. But you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, when it gives a list of things that there's one of, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, we just three baptisms tonight. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of fire, baptism of our sins and water. And you can save in the baptism of John. Which one is this talking about? There's only one. Well, go back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we mentioned verse 14 a little while ago. This time, I want us to read the whole context there. And I believe we can see for sure which baptism it's talking about. In Galatians chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does these shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the matter of man, though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as the many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which has 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have been given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God's plan of salvation. The baptism that will wash away our sins. The baptism that will put us in Christ is as being baptized into Christ in water, immersed in water. That is the one baptism. And after we do that, we are to remain faithful. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22 says, "He who endures to the end will be saved." I plan on having one more lesson in this series on the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about, in particularly, grieving the Holy Spirit and what that means. And none of us want to be guilty of that. If you're not a child of God this evening, you've seen God's plan of salvation from Scripture. If you need to obey it, please do so. Don't leave here in a lost condition. Come if you need to while together we stand and sing.
Slowed down and not tried to make that into one sermon over the last 4 weeks and digest each piece of it. Is there anything else that needs to be said before we dismiss? If not, we'll be led in prayer.
Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the time, the place, and the freedom that we have to come together as Christians to sing, pray, study, and hear thy word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the leaders of this land and other lands that they will reach unto thee for guidance and that thou will guide them in a way that we continue to come together without any fear of tribulation or persecution to worship thee. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we take the things that have been said today, that we will study them and examine them in a way that will be well-pleasing unto thee, that they will strengthen us, encourage us, and edify us to go out into the world and teach others thy word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick and the afflicted the world over, but especially those of this place here, those mentioned here today. they will be restored. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, that they will reach unto thee for comfort, that thou will comfort them in a way that thou knows best. Our Heavenly Father, most of all, we thank thee for thy Son Jesus, who suffered and died upon that cruel cross of Calvary, so that we may have forgiveness of our sins and the hope and the opportunity to have a home in heaven with thee someday. Our Heavenly Father, go with us now as we're about to be separated. Be with us, guide us, direct us, and bring us back the next appointed time. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hey, Mark
suggested
that maybe we could all three.
I'm glad you're interested in helping. So we can divide that.